chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 19. If you'd stand with us, as our custom is, we love to stand, honor the reading of the Word of God found over in 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'd like to start reading in verse number 19. If you're there, say amen this morning. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted or frowned upon or abused for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Somebody shout glory right there. That we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Father, we love you today. Thank you for this time together, this Christmas season. Thank you, Lord, that you came to a lowly manger. Thank you, Lord, that you went to a lowly cross. Thank you, Lord, on the third day you got out of the grave. Now you sit on the right hand side of our Father, making intercession for us. Want to thank you for that. Help us now in the preaching. Dear Lord, I sure do need you this morning. Touch hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I'm interested today in verse number 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. I won't preach on a simple topic today on God's Christmas tree. God's Christmas tree. You know, we have several trees scattered around in our church. At our home we have trees. And I love the sight of the Christmas tree. But I think many times in all the hoopla and the splendor, we might lose sight and focus of that tree. I want to say that the Christmas tree does not represent a pagan holiday. Matter of fact, we could thank the German immigrants that came to our country around the 1600s. They put up a tree, and it was an evergreen tree, and they put some lights on it, and they'd gather around that tree, and they'd sing songs to the lovely one, and share Bible stories of the greatest thing that had ever happened in this walk of this old world. The Lord Jesus had a tree. I'd say, preacher, I don't believe in all that Christmas tree. Oh, listen, I'm glad God believed in a Christmas tree. You say, well, that's just caught up in all the world and the commercialism. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, in 1 Peter 2, you'll notice God had a special tree. And I want you to notice that in this God's Christmas tree, number one, there was the lessons of this Christmas tree. I want to say that the Bible said that, first of all, there had to be a choosing of a tree. I remember when my kids was little, Megan and Macy, I can remember one of the greatest times, and this may be strange to you, but me and my wife, we celebrated some 35 years of marriage. We've been through a lot of Christmases together, but one of the most special times I can remember, we went to the other side of Woodland, Alabama, and Megan and Macy were just little kids, and we got out, Brother Mike, and we let them go out and choose a tree. Boy, I'm going to tell you, way back yonder, for me and you haven't owed anything. God was choosing a tree. And I'm going to tell you in Romans 5 and verse number 6, I'm glad that God had this tree upon His mind. You say, preacher, why did He have this tree on His mind? Because He had me and you on His mind. Now the choosing of the tree. In Romans 5 and verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure for a good man would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Oh my, this morning, the lessons of this tree, there was a choosing. God could have chose anything that He wanted to for the death of His Son, but God chose a tree. All those Old Testament sacrifices, they all pointed to bloody Calvary, to where God had chose a tree of the shedding of blood to make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And therefore, the lessons of this tree, you say, preacher, what lessons? Well, there was a choosing of a tree. And then secondly, after the choosing of the tree, there is the cutting of the tree. You'll notice in Isaiah chapter number 53, God had spoken and He said this, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You see, on this God's Christmas tree, there are some lessons. there was the choosing of the tree. There was the cutting of the tree. And I want to say, at this cutting of the tree, something was dying. Oh, my, isn't that amazing? Somebody that was living. Somebody had the best of everything, but he left heaven and came to this old world. And therefore, when we see this cutting of the tree, we see a dying. You remember, honey, when you cut a tree down in the field, you bring it in the house and put it down. You remember this, it's dying. I'm glad the Lord died for you. I'm glad the Lord died for me. There's some men, they've studied this Bible so long and so wrong, they've got in a ditch, and they say, well, God only died for a few people, but oh, no, 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 no. No, see, you've got to stay balanced in this thing of preaching. God died for all men across this country. God died for you because He loves you. Therefore, we see this lessons of the tree. Oh, there was a choosing. There was a cutting. Then I got to thinking there was a carrying. I remember when we chose that tree and cut that tree, we carried it back to the house. I'm reminded in Luke 23, where the Lord Jesus had stood there at Calvary. The Bible said that Pilate had brought the sentence upon Him. And he said, I find no fault in Him. And he cried out, what do you have us to do? And the world said, crucify Him. The Bible said that Simeon was coming out of the country. Upon Him they laid the cross that He might carry it after Jesus. I'm going to tell you this morning, many of you are carrying a heavy cross. I sure am glad that the Lord carried the cross. You see, the Bible didn't say that Simon carried it by himself. Simply that Simon followed after Him. That lets me know when a heavy cross has been put upon me and you. I will remind you today that just because you're a Christian does not mean that you're immune to trouble. But I tell you what it does mean. There's somebody that'll get in trouble with you. I'm glad there's somebody that can help us carry our cross this morning. Hallelujah! I'm glad somebody will help me carry my heavy cross today. The Bible said that He followed that cross after Jesus. What do you mean Jesus was on the other end of that cross? What does that tell you, preacher? It tells me that everywhere that cross goes, Jesus will be on the front of it. It tells me that I'll not have to carry it by myself. Aren't you glad you got somebody helping you carry your cross with you? I tell you something else about that cross. When they laid it on Simeon and he carried it after Jesus, Jesus was on the front, Simeon on the back. I tell you something about that too. It brought him to Jesus closer than anything had ever been. Oh, Lord. You say, preacher, I don't know why I've got this heavy cross laid upon me. I tell you one thing, it'll get you closer to God than you've ever been. Thank God for the cross that'll get us close to Jesus this morning. I've noticed I do pretty good and sort of lukewarm Christian to heavy cross lays. Then it brings me very close to Jesus. Boy, I tell you another thing, what that cross did to old Simeon. It kept him right in line with Jesus. Maybe the reason many of us have such hard times. We think, well, God don't love me because He's put a heavy cross on me. Honey, I remind you, God loves you so much that He'll put a cross on you just to keep you in line with His Son. Glory to God. I don't want to get out of bounds with God. Many times there's crosses placed in my life and it straightens me out, Brother Mike, and keeps me walking the direction of the Son. I'll tell you another thing. When that cross was put on old Simeon, they took and stood it up in that hole. He seen Jesus lifted higher than he'd ever seen him. Some of you have been through some heavy crosses this year, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You've seen the Lord Jesus lifted higher than you've ever seen. Oh, what a God we serve. Boy, we got a good God. Anybody wouldn't want to be saved. I don't know what's wrong with them. Looking in this world for everything, but there's nothing like the Lord Jesus that loves His children and to walk with His children and sees about His children. Glad God had a tree. You see, there's the lessons of a tree. There was the choosing and the cutting and the carrying. But number two, not only the lessons of the tree, there was the lifting of the tree. When they went and got it, many of us, we put it in a stand. Stand it up. Well, I'm going to tell you, when God lifted His tree, it was a heavy tree. You know why it was a heavy tree? Because all of our sins was upon it. You say, well, preacher, how do you believe that? Look in your Bible over to that text verse, 1 Peter 2 and 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Boy, that had to be a heavy tree. Isn't that amazing? You know, just my sin put upon it would be heavy enough. But can you imagine everybody's sin in this building was put upon His Son and put upon that tree? It was a heavy cross. You say, Brother Ken, you mean every sin that I've ever done? Yep, it was put on His Son. And the only way that you're going to go to heaven is to believe in His Son as the sin bearer. Listen, don't think you're going to heaven carrying your sins by yourself. Hell will be your home. You better get saved by the sweet grace of God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ that took all your sin on a cross. You say, preacher, how do I do that? By faith. You believe in what God has put there to get you to heaven. And that was the death of His Son. We see the lifting of the cross. It was a heavy tree. In Galatians 3 and 13, it was a hated tree. See, nobody wanted this tree, but I sure am glad that God wanted it. In Galatians 3, verse number 13, watch your Bible now. Not going to preach much longer. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It was a hated tree, but I'm going to tell you, I'm glad God wanted it. See, this way some of you are this morning. I preached on it Wednesday night. You're trying your best to live by the law. And let me tell you this morning, the law's perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. What's wrong with us? We can't live the law by every letter. There was one man came to Jesus one night. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said, hey, keep the commandments. He said, oh, I've kept everyone from my youth up. Jesus said, I'm glad you told me that. Now I'm going to show you how wicked you are. Go sell everything you got and give the poor. And he walked away sad. See, he thought he had kept the law, but he couldn't keep the law. I sure am glad God seen that we couldn't keep the law. So He put His Son up on a cross to take our place of the law. And now we're saved by grace. You that are trying to live by the law, you've got to be miserable. There's freedom being saved. When this little boy come up here a while ago, he put in the collection plate. Brother Ryan was going back. Do you notice how he stumbled and fell? That's the way it is in the Christian life. He didn't lay there, honey. He got up and he dusted his little britches off and he moved on for the glory of God. I'm glad under the gospel of the grace of God when we fall down and make mistakes. I'm glad the law don't kill us, but I'm glad morning. Hallelujah. Whoop, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I know a lot of preachers, they preach the law, 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 law. It brings death. Let me tell you, it does you good to try to live by the law, but you're going to come up short. The law's a schoolmaster. It is a good rule to live by. That's why that the White House don't want it in there, or the schoolhouse don't want it. It convicts men of their sin. Let me tell you, honey, the law has always brought death. Matter of fact, when God gave Moses the law, he went back down to that Baptist church. He was a pastor. They'd done made them a molten calf, dancing and worshiping a calf. He said, "What y'all thinking?" and throw them down. I wonder that myself sometime. He broke them. You know why? He couldn't keep them. And you can't keep them. But I'm glad you're under on God's Christmas tree. He could keep them. And there he became a curse for me and you. Isn't that amazing? A man that would take your sin and my sin and get on a cross and die for it. Sound like to me, we ought to think a whole lot of him. You thank a lot of people that'll give you something, but what about a man give you his life? I make it this simple. Pull everybody up from the church and say, okay, you fixing to be hung. Everybody here is going to be hung. You know why? Because we're all guilty of the law. We was all guilty. But all of a sudden, Jesus steps up and he says, none of y'all got to die. You can live if you just trust me. Because see, there's one go-between between man and God. The God-man, the mediator. Let me tell you, the Roman Catholic Church hadn't got the mediator and the Pope. The Lord Jesus is our mediator. Honey, I ain't got to talk to a man in a phone booth. I can get on my knees and cry to a holy God, the King of Kings and a brainman of God. Hallelujah. Me and my wife was in Italy. We went in a big cathedral. Seen a little woman feeling so sorry for her, Brother Charlie. They had a light on in a little box. She was nailed down. I looked, and through the peephole, you could see a man sitting in there in a little cap and gown. And she was telling him everything she knew. Oh, listen to me this morning. I'm glad I've not got to take my sin to you or nobody else, but I got to take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the mediator between God and man this morning. Oh, my, I sure am glad that God had a tree on his mind. You see, there was the lessons of the tree and the lifting of the tree. It was a heavy tree. It was a hated tree. But in Acts 13 and 29, it was a hallowed tree. It was a very hallowed tree. Acts 13 and verse number 29. There the Bible said, when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. There's the lessons of the tree, the lifting of the tree. But thirdly, there's the lighting of the tree. You know, a tree just ain't a tree without lights. I won't say this, he won't listen to it. And I'm glad because I wouldn't hurt his feelings for nothing. Renee's daddy, he come up around the Depression, you know. Man, they really watch their pennies. We ought to watch ours. Thank Mason and Megan put him a little tree up there by the fireplace. Me and Renee, I walk in. You know what he's done? He slipped over our Brother Mike and he's turned them lights off that little tree because it might cost him a nickel a day. But Renee walk in there and she say, Daddy, you can't have no tree without lights on it. Plug it up, meant this whole honey. I come to tell you this morning. Oh, God knowed how to light his tree. He said, I am the light of the world. I'm glad he lights up our darkness. I'm glad there's a God gave us light one glorious day. Boy, when God plugged him in, friend, Woo! Oh, I'm glad that He shined the light about me, what I was doing. Showed me how wicked I was. But He said, you can come unto me and be saved. I'm glad God turned the light on. Oh, I'm glad God turned the light on. Is anybody glad that you was raised around a mom and dad and know how to turn the light on? I was preaching Mama's funeral. I got off on the last point. Me and a little boy in the country back then, Tennessee, you'd get on a car, you'd shoot rabbits when they come across the road. Don't tell the game warden about it, but we did it. And I tell you, because we was eating them, amen. We was eating rabbit in the country. It'd do some of you good to go back to eating out of fence rows and brush piles. Somebody say amen right there. That old car broke down. Brother David, you remember there's a Corvair had the motor in the trunk. Craziest thing. Thing broke down. I was driving his on the hood of shooting. That's the truth. Big snow on the ground. That little Corvair stopped. He said, Ken, what are we going to do? I said, let's cross this pasture fence. He got his gun. Stepped across that fence, big snow on the ground. And I looked and I said, you see out through them woods, under that set light? I said, that's Mama's back porch. I said, she knowed her boy's out. She left the light on. I'm glad I had a mama know how to turn the light on. Told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me the love of Christmas in my heart. But I'm going to tell you one day, 2,000 years ago, God put something on a tree that lit up this whole world like this world's never seen. Jesus is the light of the world. And in Him is no darkness at all. See, there's the lessons of the tree. Sure am glad that God had a tree on His mind. Then there's the lifting of the tree and the lighting of the tree. But lastly this morning, I will talk about God's Christmas tree. There's a looking on the tree and a looking under the tree. I've seen these slogans and I agree with it. You could take it either way you want. It's not the gifts under the tree, but it's the gift on the tree. I understand that. If you'd help me in this sermon just a minute, not on the lessons of the tree and the lifting of the tree and the lighting of the tree, but what about the looking under the tree? Christmas morning out in the country, man, it's amazing what our children have now, and I'm glad they do have nice things. But many of us, you know, when you was raised poor, you might get one little item, and man, you could just barely wait to get under that tree. I mean, you walked all through the house and you looked at that tree and you're just thinking, boy, if I can just finally Christmas morning get under that tree. You know, this could be Christmas morning for some of you today. You could have the greatest gift that comes from that tree that you've ever experienced in your life. You see, if there would have not been no Christmas, listen to me. If there had been not no tree, no Christmas, then I'm going to say this because there is a tree in Christmas. We have access to God. He's approachable. Now, I want to say this morning. You may be here and you've never heard much preaching, but I'm going to try to be real simple in this right here and tell you what I mean right here on this looking under the tree. There's an access to God. It's approachable. Now, this is what the Bible says. I don't care who the preacher is. I don't care how long he's been preaching. If he's not reading out of the Bible, you don't need to listen to what he's saying. Let's see what this says right here in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. He don't want anybody to die and go to hell in their sin. That's why He sent His Son, that you could be saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here it is. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men,
the man Christ Jesus. You know what this Bible just said? He said there's no options to get to heaven but one way. You see, because of a Christmas, the way to God is approachable. That's by the death of His Son. He said, let me tell you something. I don't care what all traditions have taught you. I don't care what the surveys in America will say. There is one man, and He's the God-man. He said He's between God and men, the Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom, look, for all. Preacher, you mean He died for me? He sure did. He died for you. He died for me. Preacher, what about all that I've done? Well, He nailed it on His cross. And if you'll believe in what He's done for you, you can be saved this morning. And He can become your mediator between God and you. But you've got to have Him to bring access to God. Oh, I sure am glad that God is approachable. And then, watch this now in closing. Turn with me over to Romans chapter number 5. Not only is God approachable, but grace is available. I sure am glad of this thing of grace. Somebody said, well, preacher, what do you believe about grace? I believe what the Bible teaches about it, that we're saved by grace through faith. And I believe it with all of my heart this morning. Talking about looking under the tree now. Romans 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Watch this. Talking about looking under the tree now. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, God is approachable. Grace is available. But the grave is avoidable. I'm glad God's took the sting out of death for me. I'm glad that grave will not hold me. That grave's just a vestibule. Boy, when we step, like little Parker thought, Mama's still in that box. That's not the way it works. That's just an old body turned to clay. Soul and spirit's gone to be with the Lord. Those that are saved in heaven, those who've never been saved, never trusted His Son, in hell they'll lift their eyes. That's what the Bible said. You say, well, that ain't much of a Christmas story. Oh, it's the greatest story I've ever heard. And Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You know, that looking under the tree, where would we have been without a cross? He died. Now look what we receive because of that tree. Grace, hope, peace. You know, we've got a great church in Bowden. God help me turn the preaching up, preach out of my heart. God help me to preach with the Spirit of God. But I don't think that we really realize just what God has done for us on a tree. And then I want to close with this. Not only the lessons, not only the lifting, the lighting, and the looking, but the love around the tree. We'd get up Christmas morning, Megan Macy's little, and of course, I was wanting to get to all the gifts, and I'd make them sit down, and I'd get the Bible. And I'd read where He's born of a virgin, born in a lowly stable, and there was no room for them. You know, Mom and Daddy, there's not a lot of room for us. But I'm glad He made room for us. And I love Him and I thank Him. And you know, the love around that tree this morning. Thursday, many of you, you'll have some loved ones that's left. I picked up the phone, Brother Adam, to call my mother yesterday. I bet I've done it 12 times. You say, well, preacher, I ain't got nobody around the tree with me. Well, you can have. You can have the Lord Jesus Christ that lives in you. Have the greatest Christmas you've ever had in all of your life. I've asked Brother Chris to sing a song this morning. I'm glad God had a tree. This is what I want to say, and now I'm done. Number one, I'm so glad that you've come to church today. But I'd like to encourage you to maybe grab a loved one, maybe a friend, whatever you want to do. Maybe you want to come bow under the tree this morning. Thank God for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that loved you like nobody else has ever loved you. Had one saved last Sunday. Did you know you could be saved this Sunday? But you're going to have to come by faith. Well, preacher, I don't really understand about being saved. Well, let me tell you this. You can't live by the law. Nothing's wrong with the law. It's us. We've got to accept the grace of God. That's His Son. And we've got to accept Him by faith. Move in His direction. Trust Him. Ask Him to save you. Would you want to do that this morning? Maybe just want to gather around. Say, Lord, thank You. Brother Chris, you sing.